This morning's message, I have titled it, Temptation, the Pathway to Sin. We begin this morning with Hebrews 4, verses 16. He says, therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, so that we may receive mercy and grace and find grace to help in a time of need. We're all here human, are we not? We're not robots, we're humans. And the only one thing that you and I will never outgrow is having temptations. They'll come our way until we go home to be with the Lord. There are days we have temptations and days we don't. But they're still out there, and Satan wants to use them. So let's this morning look at what the Bible says about temptation. Is temptation a sin? We need to remember this important fact. Temptation is not a sin, but it can easily lead us to sin if we allow it to, if we meddle with it, if we flirt with it. It becomes sin when we give in to it. And that is because we have a choice, because we have free will. Some people, some Christians believe that they're bad because they have temptations, and some of them are persistent. But temptation does not make you bad. You're not responsible for what Satan attempts to put in your mind and does at times. He has a lot of different enticements that he has at his disposal. But however, we are responsible for what we do with those thoughts that he has placed there. Where are our priorities? Are we fighting the temptations in our lives that seek to cause us to sin? Or do we have an unconcerned attitude towards temptations? Are we complacent, smug about temptations? We can dwell on them, thinking that we have them under control by our own willpower. But how great is our willpower? Just look back to January 1st. All the things that you promised to do, all the things that you thought you would be able to do, your willpower has ceased working with those things. You know, we often entertain temptation by doing what? We focus on it. And when you begin to focus, it becomes more and more enticing. And it becomes more definitely harder to withdraw from its appeal. There are times when temptation overwhelms us because we have not taken the means to overcome it. There are times when we have the intent and desire in our heart to bring the temptation to fruition. There are people who desire to have temptation so they can do whatever they please in sin. It goes to a place of misplaced satisfaction. Oh, the satisfaction may be temporary. However, that satisfaction does not last long. You will never be satisfied with sin, or you should not be. In James 1, verses 14 and 15, it says, but each one is tempted when he is carried away and enticed by his own lust. Then when lust has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And when sin is accomplished, it brings forth death. Or can we fight it with the power of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God? Yes, we can. That is the reason why the Holy Spirit is there with us, in the Word of God to be read and meditated upon as we're tempted. Martin Luther once said, "You can't keep the birds from flying over your head, but you can keep them from making a nest in your hair." And that is what happens. You can keep them from making a nest in your hair by the power of God. Satan wants to intimidate you by that temptation that he has placed in your mind so that you begin to beat up on yourself. Oh, woe is me, I'm a sinner, da 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 da, and all these things, the consequences, you know, and you get distraught. The more you get down on yourself, the easier it becomes for him to manipulate you, to manipulate the negative emotions that will lead you to sin. You know, we must be careful when we are at risk of falling into sin. Satan has a purpose in that temptation. His purpose is to draw you away from God. There are times that Satan chooses to pounce upon us. He loves it when we're down and out, when we're tired and exhausted, when we are hanging around with those who are ungodly, when we've just got some bad news and have become discouraged or angry, when we're in physical pain, when we're annoyed and agitated, when we just committed a sin. Be careful. You are at risk. Most likely, you and I could find ourselves in a dangerous situation spiritually, and that is to take that temptation, conceive it, and cause us to sin. You know, Satan will find, and he'll attempt to find a way to bring you and I down when it's easy for him. Remember, he has been doing this for a number of years now. In fact, a great number of years. Know that you're not the first victims or the only attempted victims. He's at work everywhere. You know, when we experience condemnation, and condemnation comes from the devil, we are brought to despair, and tempter is attempting to draw us away from God. That's his whole purpose. He wants to be God in your life. And so he does this trickery, this attempt to cause you to sin. And when you sin, what happens? You break relationship with God. God is still there, but he's waiting for you to do something. He tries to draw you away from others. When you get mad at somebody and you begin to call them names and whatever, and in your heart you begin to get this anger, Satan is trying to get you to break away from others. It could be your best friend, and suddenly, out of nowhere, this thought comes to your mind. Oh, so-and-so did this. Oh, the other day he said this about me. I heard he said something about me. And anger rises up in your soul. You take that thought. You conceive it. What happens? Sin. Whatever the devil places in your mind is a lie, for he is the father of lies. He's lied from the beginning. He wants us to live in a discouraged life, ineffective for Christ, and totally focus on ourselves. Each one of us is broken, we're sinful, and pretty messed up without Jesus. You know, the Bible, the Word of God, compares our own self-righteousness to that of filthy rags. In Isaiah 64, verse 6, it says, "For all of us have become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like filthy garment, and all of us wither like a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind take us away." God looks down at us and declares that none of us are righteous, not even one of us. Our righteousness comes from Christ. He has taken his righteousness and placed it upon us. In Romans 3, verse 23, it says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified as a gift by his grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus." We all know, because of the fall of Adam and Eve, there is suffering in this world, guaranteed. We will always struggle with our tendencies to wander and go astray from God. We'll always struggle with that. In 1 John 4:4 says, "You are from God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world." Amen. You are greater because you are in Christ. You are overcomers, more than overcomers. You know, it's a source of encouragement and assurance for us who face trials and temptations in our lives to know that the Holy Spirit who dwells within us is more powerful than any evil force in the world. Remember that God is in control. He is always in control. Remember that God will not forsake you. He'll not leave you. He's there at all times. It's us as individuals who make the departure at times. And hopefully, as we grow in Christ, that departure, if any anymore, will be less and less. Because we stray. We wander from God. You know, when God gave his only begotten Son, Jesus, to die on the cross for our sins and then rise again, he defeated sin. He defeated sin. He defeated death on that hill called Calvary. You know, the battle has already been won. It's those skirmishes that occur in our lives that need to be won also. And we can win them by the very fact that Jesus is in us, that he indeed has set us free. He's broken the chains. And today, right at this very moment, we can walk in freedom in the victory in Christ Jesus. We need to stop struggling and striving in our own strength. I know you hear that often. We need to stop struggling. Need to stop trying to do it on ourselves, by ourselves. There was a time past that I was told by a prophet that I was a bull in a china shop. Really, come to think of it, yes. God has all this wonderful plan for you, a wonderful life. And what do? We become a bull, and here we knock things over, here and there, because we want to do it ourselves. Needless to say, I don't go into china shops anymore. Really? Because it would remind me of who I was. But God has changed that. Amen. We need to take our eyes off ourselves. I know there's nobody prettier than yourself. There's none more wonderful than yourself. I'll tell you that about myself. I'm great. I'm wonderful. That's our attitude of all of us. I can do my own thing. No, the word says I can do all things in Christ Jesus. Where are you today? Are you in Christ Jesus? We're not worthy because of what we've done. We're worthy because of what Jesus has done for us. He's the one that paid the penalty for us. He's the one that hung on the cross. He's the one that shed his precious blood for us. He accomplished it all and said it was finished. It is accomplished. Jesus has done it all. So why do we put ourselves in his place and try to do it instead of him in our daily lives? Remember that his blood cleanses and covers and makes us everything new. You know, despite our imperfections, we become the light and the salt that we are designed to be as Christ followers. You know, Jesus has delivered all of us from a temptation caused by our lust of the eyes and the boastful pride of life in the lust of flesh. And he sends his temptation to draw us back to him. The devil is trying to do that to us, to draw us back to Satan himself. That's his purpose. You know, do we allow that temptation to fester in our minds, or do we fight the good fight of faith? We need to wage war when temptation comes our way and continue to wage war until the Goliath in our lives is vanquished and the head is cut off. We must make war against Satan until the battle is won. We need to pray to the Holy Spirit on a daily basis. The Holy Spirit, direct my life. Direct it. He wants to. He desires to direct your life. But on the other hand, we don't let him. And how miserable we become. Let him direct your life. Oh, Holy Spirit, help me discern and recognize a temptation immediately. And help me not to succumb to it enticing ways, and show me the way of escape. There is a way of escape. God's word says he has provided a way of escape. Amen. And when you escape from something, you're fleeing from it. You've turned around and said, no. He's provided that way of escape so that you may not sin. You know, D.L. Moody, I have a couple quotes here. D.L. Moody, when Christians find themselves exposed to temptation, they should pray to God to uphold them. And when they are tempted, they should not be discouraged. It is not a sin to be tempted. The sin is to fall into temptation. a quote from George Whitefield, "The riches of his free grace cause me daily to triumph over all the temptations of the wicked one, who is very vigilant and seeks all occasions to disturb me." Remember that all temptations occur first in the region of our mind, and they can be fought and conquered at that point in time. Don't wait. Many a times we go through the same battles over and over again. Why? In 1 John 2, verse 16, it says, "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the boastful pride of life is not from the Father, but is of this world." You know, we all go through temptations. None of us are immune from it. Some of them are common to all of mankind, but God has given us power to overcome them, and he is faithful to his promise that he will provide a way of escape from that temptation. In 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13, it says, "No temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will provide the way of escape, also that you will be able to endure it." In Philippians 4, verse 13, it says, "I can do all things through him who strengthens me." In that occasion, in that event that is taking place in your life where you're being tempted, God is there to strengthen you and to bring you through it, to allow you a way of escape. He is providing that. That's a promise, his provision of escape. You know, God is bigger than your temptation or my temptation. And the reason for temptation is seeks to have us sin so that Satan may take God's place in our lives. That's the purpose that Satan has. So in that situation, in life, we need to be on the alert and careful. We must find something, or rather, we must go to the one who we love more than that sin, and his name is Jesus Christ. You know, it grieves the Holy Spirit. It hurts God when his own people choose to sin over him. In Jeremiah 2, verse 13, it says, "For my people have committed two evils. They have abandoned or rejected me, the fountain of living water. And they have carved out their own cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot hold water." When you try to do it yourself, you're sinning against God, and your result is that whatever it is will be broken. It can't hold water. You know, we know that only God can satisfy us, not our self-accommodating desires that leave us completely broken, damage, and in need of repair. Romans 6, verse 16 says, Do you not know that when you present yourselves to someone as slaves for obedience, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin resulting in death or of obedience resulting in righteousness? Who do you want to obey? Do you want to obey Satan, the devil, or do you want to obey God? Choose death or choose righteousness. In Galatians 5, verse 16, 17, it says, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desires against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please." In Ephesians 6, verse 12, it says, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places." And in Romans 8, verse 13, it says, "For if you are living according to the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you are putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live." We need to guard our thought life and resist temptation. We need to set our mind on Christ and focus on Him and His great love for us and what He has done for us and what He continues to do for us. You know, when our mind is focused on Christ, if you focus on Christ, it will not be focused on anything else. Focus our eyes on Jesus. Amen.